Welcome to the Why Did I Get Cancer podcast. I'm Deborah Herlax-Enos, a small-town girl turned TV nutritionist and healthy living expert. I design health programs for the average guy or gal, including those average guys named Metallica. On September 1st, 2020, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. I asked every oncologist the same question, why did I get cancer? But none of my doctors had good answers for me. I wanted answers, and that's why I started this podcast. I want to help you to lower your cancer risk and provide self-care tips for those in the battle. I'm getting answers, and I want to share them with you. Hey, everyone. Welcome to my review episode, where I talk about the two most downloaded episodes in 2023. And I would say one was surprising and one was not. So the first most downloaded episode was about sleep. And I think maybe I'm not surprised about that because so many of us are just bad sleepers. And the information was really good. That was with Devin Burke. But I think the one that was surprising for me was that Dr. Henry Cloud, who honestly I love, his content is amazing. But he talks a lot about boundaries and kind of lack of boundaries or being codependent or being a people pleaser. Can that contribute to cancer risk? And that was one of my top downloaded episodes of 2023. So I thought we'd go ahead and start with Devin Burke. And I'm just going to play a couple of tracks from the original podcast. And the first clip I thought was so interesting because I was asking him, actually, I was telling him that I've just been a bad sleeper for most of my life. And could being a bad sleeper contribute to cancer risk? Ugh, I hated his answer, but he said yes. So here we go. Devin, I'm a terrible sleeper. I'm just going to confess that right now. And I want to know, is bad sleep, could that have contributed to me getting cancer?
The truth is, yeah. 100%. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, so I'm sure we're going to be talking a lot about, you know, how to get improved. I don't like to scare people too much because people that this is the thing. When you start to tell people how important sleep is, people that have issues with their sleep, they sleep worse. That being said, 100%, if you are not sleeping, you know, it does contribute to your chances of cancer. And there's a lot of science to support that.
I was afraid you were going to say that. And one of the reasons why I have this podcast is I'm really committed to never getting cancer again. But I would imagine not sleeping great, it's not just increasing your cancer risk. Is it possibly, you know, diabetes or inflammation?
All of the above, heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's. I mean, literally anything that, you know, the big killers, sleep is linked to. And so it's, it's because our immune system gets restored and repaired throughout the night. And so if we're not getting the sleep that we need, our bodies are not repairing. And so that's at the base, most simple level. Sleep restores our immune system. And when we're not getting enough of it, our immune system is not being restored.
I thought this second clip with Devin Burke was also really interesting. He was talking about how important it is to have boundaries with technology. And that isn't easy, is it? You know, we have TVs in our bedrooms, we have phones on our nightstand. And he was talking about how this can really be just incredibly disruptive to sleep. And maybe I really liked what he had to say, but at the same time, I didn't like what he had to say because I have some work to do in my own life. I don't have a TV in the bedroom, but we both have our phones on our nightstands and we use them as alarm clocks. So maybe our next step is to just get a good old-fashioned, you know, alarm clock that doesn't have to do with having a cell phone in the bedroom. So here's the clip. I set my alarm for the next day at like 7 p.m. so I don't have to, you know, burn my eyeballs with that bright light right before I go to sleep. Is that helping? And what other suggestions might you have?
Yeah, I mean, it really depends on how far you want to go with this. I mean, I'm a big component of a tech-free bedroom. So literally no TV and no phone. But for some certain people, they're not willing to do that, or it's because they have an aging parent or they have kids that are out of the house and they want to have the phone there, right?
Right.
So, but drawing really strong boundaries around technology is important if you value sleep, because it really is the technology that's getting in the way of most people getting sleep. It's adding more stress to our lives in certain ways, which then directly correlates to people then not being able to, you know, get the sleep that they need and get enough of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I couldn't agree more. And I think about, you know, being someplace where there's just, there's not great connectivity. And so I end up reading before bed and then I sleep great that night.
Yeah, that's a better, I would say that would be a better routine. And here's the thing. It's not like you have to never watch a show before you go to sleep or never touch your phone. It's not about these absolutes. It's just really about finding balance. And we are creatures of habit. So we get in habits of doing certain things. So I always encourage all of our clients, and when I speak, it's just getting a healthier habit. It doesn't have to be this absolute, like I never watch a TV show before sleep, or I never touch my phone after a certain hour. Because then that creates so much pressure around it, and it makes it more of a thing. It's just integrate these sort of steps slowly, and then just notice how that impacts how you sleep, and then notice how that impacts how you feel the next day. And then you kind of can say, oh, it's actually worth it. I actually feel better when I practice, you know, cleaner sleep hygiene, if you will, than when I don't. And then you can have to make the decision from there.
Okay. And I've also heard people mention sleeping in a cooler bedroom. Do you have any information about that to share?
Yeah. So our body temperature needs to drop 2 to 3 degrees Fahrenheit for sleep to happen. So, and throughout the night, our body temperature is actually going up and going down. And so studies have shown that a cooler bedroom, 68 degrees, they found is like sort of the optimal temperature, does support deeper quality sleep. So, you know, for people that live in environments where they can open windows, where it's, you're also getting that good air ventilation, because indoor air is not the best. So if you live in a cooler environment, that's a great strategy to kind of kill two birds with one stone, if you will, fresh air and cooler environment.
This third clip was really interesting. He is talking about being wired and tired. And really what he was meaning by that, my takeaway with that is that we're just so wired up because of work, because of watching too much news, because of having, you know, a computer in our hand all day long, meaning a cell phone, that we just get so wired that it's almost difficult to sleep. And I found some of his comments about being wired and tired really interesting. And then at the very end, you're going to just have to go listen to the entire episode. But we talked about what can we do to become a better sleeper. And Devin really likes some of the things that I'm doing, which is I get up, I don't immediately get on my cell phone, I have a glass of water, I go outside, I look toward the sunrise, but there's something that I do that he doesn't like at all, and that's I go outside with a cup of coffee. So you're going to have to listen to the whole episode, get more of his tips. I know you'll enjoy it.
You know, I've never been able to sleep well. It's not a curse. It's just there's certain things that you need to understand to be able to allow your body to do what it knows how to do. Sleep is the most natural thing in the world. I mean, it really, it's as natural as your heart beating or your lungs breathing or, you know, your nails growing, your hair growing. You don't have to think about sleep. It happens.
Huh. I love that because you can get a little paranoid. And, you know, there have been times in the last couple of years where I've actually had a little sleep anxiety.
Yes.
So that
very
is
very common.
Okay.
Very
okay.
Common, more common than most people realize. And that's honestly, that's the very thing that keeps people up. It's this, it becomes this sort of thing, this like pressure, like I need to sleep. And if I don't sleep tomorrow, I'm going to look like crap. I'm going to feel like crap. I'm going to, you know, and then
right.
All that stuff, you're thinking about it and it starts to stress you out. And then of course the body follows the mind.
That's so
the body
good.
Is going to respond to that. It's going to release these, it thinks that you're at threat. And so that's really, that is the root cause of most people's sleep issues. It's right there. And so it's really understanding that and then putting in place, you know, boundaries and different techniques and tools and strategies to sort of break that pattern.
Oh, I love that. And that quote, I am going to use that. The body follows the mind. You're right. And that's in everything. But I can really see when I had a lot of sleep anxiety, how easily I could just start churning and burning. I call it churning and burning in bed. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's honestly, it's the number one thing that keeps people awake. It's not always directly connected to sleep, although it absolutely can be, but it's people are worried about something and their mind is racing and maybe they're wired and they're tired. So their body feels tired, but they feel wired. And so it's anxiety. It's low level stress.
Okay. It's a new year and every wellness professional that I follow on social media is talking about the importance of protein. I couldn't agree more. I do eat a fair amount of really good, high quality protein, but I also eat a very fair amount of organic non-GMO plants. So I'm going to give you a couple of pro tips. Here's my pro tip for chicken breasts. Chicken breasts can be very thick and take a very long time to cook. Super high protein and, you know, lots of wonderful things about it, but hard to cook after a long day and you want to try to get dinner on the table in 20 minutes. Here's the tip. Slice the chicken breast in half lengthwise so that it then becomes basically two thinner chicken breasts. So it's basically like a chicken tender. Cook it over medium heat. I use a really good oil like ghee or coconut oil or avocado oil. The coconut oil will give it kind of a nice, almost like an Asian flavor. Great to add soy sauce or coconut aminos. Probably 3 or 4 minutes each side, depending on how you cook it. And then you've got dinner on the table in 20 minutes. So I love that. Here's my other pro tip is Box has a great special right now, just for my community. And it's only until the 31st. So you got to act quickly. And what it is, $20 off of your first box and free protein for a year. And you get to pick your protein. So your options are chicken breast, like we just talked about, salmon or ground beef. Here's the other great thing about ButcherBox is you don't have to do it for a year. I talked to my friends at ButcherBox the other day and they said, tell your community, take us on a date. Try us out for a month. If you don't like it, it is super easy to cancel. And if you do like it, you commit. You might commit for a couple months. For me, I kind of do it every other month because I'm traveling quite a bit. So you can commit as long as you like. It's easy to cancel. But honestly, I think you're going to love them as much as I love them. And you've heard me talk about this before. One of the things that I love the most is that they know where the protein comes from because they know the farmers and they know the fishermen. So give them a try. All the info is in the show notes. Use the code ENOS to get this deal and let me know if you have any questions. And please let me know how much you love it, if you love it as much as I do. Okay, here's the other most downloaded episode, and it's Dr. Henry Cloud. The title of it is, Can a Lack of Boundaries Contribute to Cancer Risk? And my goodness, according to Dr. Cloud, yes, a lack of boundaries can contribute to all kinds of disease in our bodies. And I used to really struggle with this, and he's been a mentor of mine for probably 25 years. He never knew he was a mentor. I just used to listen to him on the radio every day at lunchtime. So when he agreed to come on the podcast, I got to tell you, I was just over the moon. So this first clip, he talks about, there's a really good chance that my lack of boundaries and some of my other personal behaviors, people pleasing, things like that can contribute to cancer risk. So give it a listen.
Is that everything from the immune system to, the amount of stress and the amount of isolation and all of that is certainly a factor in our health. You also have genetic loadings that go into this. And so it's very, very complicated. You have all sorts of environmental factors as well. You get cancer from living too close to power lines, but when you say can stress contribute to a breakdown in health, we know that's true. And so it's just, it'd kind of be like saying, well, what's the safe amount of smoking? Well, nobody knows, but why would you want to find out? Is my stress level or is my dysfunctional abusive relationship contributing to my health problems?
Yeah.
We know it does. So wouldn't you want to fix that anyway? And so, I mean, nobody really knows all the multifactorial things that go into these illnesses, but we do know that stress and loneliness and, you know, psychological patterns and thinking and feeling in certain states, we know that that attacks the systems that keep us healthy or make us sick. So it's hard to draw a straight line. I would never try to do that, but I do know that we want to be healthy regardless. What would you say? I mean, you went through it.
Yeah, I would say that there were things that I was doing that could contribute to cancer. I would say I struggled with forgiveness, and I'd mentioned being codependent. And, you know, I was always the giver in the relationship, and you know, you can really get resentful, and that's got to go somewhere.
Well, you do get resentful when you are giving. There's a Bible verse that I love about giving. Here's what it says. Give as you have purposed in your heart. In other words, you're doing this on purpose for good reasons. Give as you purposed in your heart, not begrudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Okay, so let's break this down. When we are giving because we want to help someone, we have empathy for them, we love them, you know, you give to your kids because you want them to grow, and you're choosing to do that, or you go help a friend, or you take a parent in, or whatever. Yes, I want to do this.
The next couple of clips I also found incredibly interesting. We talked a lot about the word should and how really it's time to get that out of our vocabulary, because when we use the word should, it really has packs with that a lot of obligation to other people. And we often end up resenting the people who have asked us to do these things, even though we said, yes, I'm going to go ahead and do it because I should do it. And so we had a good discussion about that. And then one of the really interesting discussions we had was about giving. And we talked a lot about giving for the right reasons. Many of us give our time, we give our energy, we give money, we give, you know, resources to people. And we feel like we should do it. And we end up resenting it. And again, it just becomes this really ugly cycle. And that stress has to go somewhere for most of us. And does it, you know, go to your stomach? Does it go and cause neck problems? Can it contribute to inflammation, which then contributes to cancer risk? So it was a really wonderful discussion, and I hope you enjoy it.
A lot of people are giving when the other person will be fine for them saying no, but they feel bad.
Right. They feel guilty or whatever it is they feel. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just talking to my wife who's traveling to visit our daughter in college. So she's there for a few days and they were hanging out, went to lunch and they're hanging out. Then our daughter, Lucy, says, Mom, I want to see you, but my friends have, there's this event tonight and she wanted to go with her friends, even though Mom's flown into town. And Tori goes, sure, go with your friends. I'll see you tomorrow. And she's like, oh, but I feel bad, you know. And Tori was fine with it. But sometimes we have shoulds. Well, I should really do this because I'm selfish if I don't. And you generally, people that are afraid of being selfish are the least selfish people in the world. The selfish people never even think.
So true.
But there's shoulds in your head of how you're wired. And that's what I mean when I say we got to change this. So I don't want giving to get a bad name. I want purposeless giving, you know, giving for bad reasons like manipulation or control or all that. I'll never forget when Olivia, our oldest daughter, we have two. And when she was in about, she was probably 4 years old, maybe, and was going off to her preschool and we're having breakfast. And so I'm, you know, this is the problem if you're the kid of a psychologist, right? You get all these life lessons all the time. My kids are rolling around. And I say, Libby, because we've been talking about giving, you know, and teaching giving. And I said, okay, so here's what I want you today at school, I want you to just give something to somebody that you want you would like to do. Okay. Just share something or give something. She goes, okay. So she goes off to school and she comes back. She's 4 years old. And I said, so how'd it go? Did you give anybody anything? And she goes, well, yeah, we were at snack time and there was this girl, you know, mom sent me with, you know, my snacks and there was this girl who didn't have any. And she goes, and so I took one of my cookies and I gave it to her. Is that what you mean? I said, Lovey, that's exactly what I mean. And then she does this. She looks at me and she says, Daddy, what is it? I said, what's what? She said, what is it in here? And she pointed to her little chest. I said, what do you mean, Lovey? And she says, when I gave her the cookie, it felt kind of the worst outcome. She said, it felt really warm inside. What is that? And I'm like, starting to lose it. Well, that was your biochemical system, chicken. I was trying to think of it. But I looked at her and I said, Libby, that was love. That's what giving feels like. Now, in that moment, giving was purposeful and it was based on empathy and care. And positive emotions were getting created by biochemical, physiological processes. And when she pointed to her body, life was flowing through that kid, right?
Wow, yeah. At four.
Think what right. She had been feeling, would have been feeling right. If a bully had come over. Say, give me your cookie. Well, no, I'm going to, you know, very different chemistry in her body. So giving isn't the problem. It's why we're giving. Do we feel overpowered, pressured, manipulated, afraid of we're going to get abused if we don't, or some internal guilt or shoulds in our head? That's the growth out of codependency.
I hope you enjoyed this year in review episode. I certainly enjoyed it. It was so fun for me to go online and look at the analytics and see, you know, what people in my community, what they enjoy listening to. So I got some surprises out of it, and I hope you did too. Both of the episodes in their entirety will be tagged in the show notes, so you get an opportunity to go back and listen to both of them. And I, you know, honestly, I really love this podcast. I love creating this podcast for you. But honestly, I create it as much for me as I do for you. I learn something new every time I interview somebody. So thanks for coming along on this journey with me. It's great to have you here. Thank you for joining me today on the Why Did I Get Cancer podcast. I've got my shopping guide for all of my cancer self-care items in the show notes, along with information about today's guest and our show sponsors. And don't forget to subscribe to my podcast so you never miss an episode. Keep in mind, I'm not a doctor. I'm just a gal that got diagnosed with cancer and wanted answers. If you need medical advice, please be sure to consult with a medical professional. And thank you for listening.